Well, good afternoon. Welcome to April 14th, 2011 Senate meeting. And we start with informational items. And I ask that all speakers for informational items, please limit your remarks to the bare minimum possible, but informational. So because we have Senate agenda to cover, so what we invite our Assistant Vice President for e-learning, Dr. Kathy Cheel, to talk about e-learning and instructional issues, Moodle policy. Kathy?
Thank you, Varinder. Good afternoon. As you know, we have a Moodle policy, or as you may not know, we have a Moodle policy put up on the e-learning pages. There were two changes to it recently that I wanted to let you know about. One was a change about course ownership in Moodle. And we added to the phrase, let me read you the phrase, faculty shall individually own their courses in Moodle. No other faculty member, administrator, or academic unit may copy an individual's Moodle course without their written permission. This was the old phrase. The new phrase has all of that, but we added, in addition, subject to constraints of policy 890. If you're not familiar with the policy 890 in UTS, that is a policy about using technology resources. Is Terry here? Using them in a legal, proper way. Terry, is that right?
That's right.
Okay. It's an appropriate use of technology policy. We had to add that in because I was asked to look into some Moodle courses because of a legal matter. So the rationale for the change was that there was an improper use of technology that resulted in some copying of part of a Moodle course. So in the interests of faculty understanding about that, I brought this to the Senate. The outcome that we expect from the change is that the policy will now conform to actual management of Moodle. The second issue is about course retention. Up till now, we have been holding all Moodle courses on the servers, although they have been archived and not always visible. We have been able to get them to you as requested. We've been keeping everything up till now. Moodle was brought here in 2006. The new policy is that we will hold courses for 3 years only. So the course retention section in the Moodle policy reads, the backup file will remain in the archives for 3 years after the end date of the course, and then it will be deleted. Faculty can request or create a copy of the backup file from e-learning at any time before it is deleted. The rationale for this change is that it will limit liability for users. As we saw in the first change, there have been some issues where the information needs to be copied for legal reasons. And then the outcome that we expect from this change is that we will spend more time managing deletion of courses in e-learning and less time searching for information out of old courses. Because they're going to be deleted after 3 years, that will limit the amount of time actually that we have to copy search and copy from them. Faculty will spend more time making and storing backups, which is a good thing, so you will have this information on your own computer rather than on university servers. And this is minor, but it will save space on our server as well. So that's it. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Questions, inquiries, or additions? Kathy, thank you. Appreciate that. The second item is the lean software purchasing process. Please recall that Senate had expressed a desire that we streamline the software purchasing process because many faculty had struggled with their research and teaching obligation and acquisition of software. So we put together a committee that Senate endorsed and that involved two faculty and two administrator or staff members. The four of them unanimously presented their finding to me, and I requested them to present to the Senate. And that's why we have here our CIO, Chief Information Officer, Terry Rowe, and Megan, you're the chair of the
Academic Computing
Committee. Thank you both. So we have a team here from faculty and staff to present that. Thank you. Terry?
Thank you very much, Dr. McGill, and hello to everyone here today. I'm happy to share with you the results of a lengthy committee process that was initiated at the request of faculty. The full committee that worked on this process was the co-chair Mark Doman and faculty members Layla Gassous, Andrea Ice, Robert McCauley, and Maria Bryant. The rationale for this change was that faculty had expressed a dissatisfaction with the existing software procurement process for several reasons, including a lack of a clear and documented process and the length of time it was taking to get software purchased. The primary changes here are to introduce a lean and documented process that was developed with faculty consultation and input. The process includes a form to gather all the needed information up front so that you know what we're looking for, and that should expedite the purchase and procurement of software and any necessary reviews. We expect this result and change to, we expect the change to result in a much more documented and friendly process, and for it to remove the delays that were existing in the process. We would expect the vast majority of the software to be purchased within 5 days, and what we're seeing is most of it is the same day or a day or two. How will we know if these expectations are being met? We'll know because we're going to be tracking metrics, and with the consultation this year of the Senate Academic Computing Committee, the chair here, Megan Harris, we did a review of this process with that committee, and that committee will have an active role every year in monitoring the process and the metrics. And with that, I open the for questions.
Any question? Megan, you have any comments from the faculty committee side?
The evaluation from the Academic Computing Committee was very positive. This is an open process, so we are continually looking for feedback from faculty and their experience of this process, because we're looking to improve it all the time. It's really a formalization of what's been going on in terms of processing and trying to make that the quickest, most efficient, and best process for the university, as well as for the faculty or whoever's ordering it.
Thank you. I see no additional comments or thoughts. First of all, let me thank you both the Senate committee and our ad hoc committee, faculty and staff. I know Mark Doman had done tremendous work in this with the committee, and I want to acknowledge his leadership and the members of the committee for doing great service to all of us. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Dicka Bourbon will present Senate committee vacancies.
Can I do this right from here?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, so on March 28th, I believe it was, the call went out by Verinder for committees to, or people to volunteer for committees, and there was a very good response. So now it turns out that there are really only three committees that don't have enough volunteers so far, and they are budget, planning, and UQE. But otherwise, there has been a very, very good response and many volunteers to staff these committees. Just quick review, there were 70 continuing members, and there were 45 vacancies. So that was a lot of vacancies to be filled, but it seems like it's going very well, except that budget, planning, and UQE does need people. There is a dedicated email account for the Senate, as I think you all know, called senate@oakland.edu. So every member of the Senate is asked to consider volunteering, or if that is not possible for you, to encourage members of your department to volunteer for these committees, and they would go to senate@oakland.edu. So this information is available on the Senate website, including a list of the continuing members and all the information that you need. So I think that's it.
Thank you. I have a few updates as you think about other issues. One is the searches, which is main interest for many of us. We have a dean searches in Kresge Library and School of Nursing. They are proceeding. Nursing, they have candidates. I participated in satellite interviews. Others, I'm scheduled to participate, and we have sent calls for all of us to be involved wherever possible. The schedule is tight. You have four searches going on: Honors College, Kresge Library, Nursing, and Research Office. And knowing your schedule, teaching, grading, final exams, and all that, and all commitments, we still want to, at least I'm trying to see as much as I can be involved in meeting the candidates, having a chance to speak with him or her. And it's going to be very tight, but we also know that after mid-April or late April, we will not have many faculty on campus because of their commitments off campus, some of traveling outside the country for their projects and so forth. So we're pushing them to compact them within the time we have so they can meet the largest number of faculty on campus. So wherever you're asked, I call on you to do your share of extending yourself a little more so we can participate in the process and the right candidates are recruited for these important positions. And I appreciate your thought in that. We move on to roll call. Deka, if you will do us the honor.
Hi. Wally Anderson?
Here.
Susan Aubrey?
Here.
Marianne Betnarski?
Here.
Keith Bervin?
Here.
Louis Shamra? Mark Doman?
Here.
Andrea Ice?
Here.
Robert Folberg?
Here.
Donna Free? Peter Frick? Louis Gallien? Frank Giblin? Janet Greitz?
Here.
Paul Graves?
Here.
Kevin Grimm?
Here.
Jerry Grossman?
Here.
Lila Gessus?
Here.
Dorothy Hawthorne Burdeen?
Here.
Kelly Hay?
Here.
Kenneth Hightower?
Here.
Jeff Insko?
Present.
Francis Jackson?
Here.
John Kim?
Here.
Serge Crook?
Here.
Michael Lacha?
Here.
Todd Liebert?
Present.
Thomas Lamarbe?
Here.
Frank Lepkowski? Paul Licker, Barbara Mabee, Charles Marks, Jay Meehan,
here.
Karen Miller,
here.
Ken Mitten, Sean Moran, Ron Orsbach, Tom Pedroni, Barbara Penpraise,
here.
Michelle Piskulich,
here.
Michael Polis, Joe Rieger, Joel Russell, Darlene Schott-Bear, Linda Schweitzer, Laura Shartman, Steve Shablin, Michelle Southward, Anna Spagolo, Ron Sudol, Ann Switzer, Mohan Tanaru, Sally Tardella, Ron Tracy, Julie Walters, Karen Wells, Lynn Williams. Thank you. There's a quorum.
Thank you. We go to item number C, which is approval of the minutes of February 17, 2011 meeting. I know all of you have read to the dot all the. If there are suggestions, corrections, additions, please. I want to make a motion first to approve the motion. That we accept the minutes. Anyone making a motion? Andrea, second?
Second.
Layla? Any comments, additions, edits? Dr. Russell?
Signage committee for the non-smoking zone near building entrances. We were told by Steve Roberts the ashtrays we moved as soon as appropriate signage was there, and I thought maybe you'd need some help.
Thank you. I'll bring it up. If you can write it down for discussion. Thank you, Dr. Russell. Any other comments? If not, please indicate approval of the minutes by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstention? So approved. We have no unfinished business. This is a very effective Senate. And we have new business, which is a motion from the steering committee. Dr. Doman, would you kindly do us the favor of reading the motion or making it?
Move that the Senate approve the proposed changes to undergraduate and graduate incomplete policies as recommended by the Graduate Council and the University Committee on Undergraduate Education, excuse me, Undergraduate Instruction.
Thank you. Any second?
Second.
Thank you. Comments and presentation. Is someone making any presentation? Steve, our registrar, will make some remarks.
Thank you, Dr. Moongill. Just a couple of things regarding the proposed changes to the incomplete policies. The rationale for the changes were primarily came out of the internal audit change or the proposal that required clarification of the incomplete policy. And then secondly, the incomplete policy has not been reviewed in a fairly long time. And oftentimes, for example, in the summer semester was silent in the former policy. What the proposed change requires that the incomplete deadline date would be one year from the deadline date of the grade submission. So, for example, in the winter 2011, the grade submission deadline is April 28th, 2011. The incomplete deadline would be 1 year from that date, so it would mean April 28th of 2012. That is the primary change in the incomplete policy.
Thank you. Any comments, suggestions? Dr. Grossman?
As I was reading it, it seemed to say that in all circumstances, the student had to request the incomplete before the final exam. I can imagine a student having a car accident on the way to the final exam. I mean, these are for presumably unusual circumstances. Is there a way to make the wording a little more flexible?
May I make a suggestion?
Sure.
In circumstances such as these, I think institutions should be obliged to make exceptions. Okay.
We can add that as so.
Thank you. If we are all agree and there are no additional comments, please indicate your approval by saying aye.
Well, this is actually the first reading.
Oh, so, I'm sorry. This is the first reading. Let's move on to item number two, which is a motion from the steering committee. Dr. Kevin Grimm, if you would kindly make the motion.
Move that the Senate recommend to the President and the Board of Trustees approval of a program leading to the Bachelor of Science in Biomedical Sciences.
Any second? Dr. Jamie Han. And this is the first reading, and is there a presentation on that? Dr. DeVere, Chair of Biological Sciences, please. Please use the mic.
Oh. Yeah, that's good. Okay, let's go back here.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Mark DeVere, the chair of biology, and with me I have two of my colleagues, Dr. Ann Heath, who is our chief advisor in the department, and Dr. Keith Bervin, who is actually the university's pre-med advisor. And I'm going to tell you today about our new proposal for biomedical sciences. We have been working on this for quite a while, watching carefully the shifting trends in pre-medical education, listening carefully to our many students, actually 900 of them, and looking at the regional scene where we are not the only players, and we definitely want to be able to keep the edge for our students and for Auckland University. This proposal has been read by many people by now, and I haven't really heard a lot of criticism about the proposal itself. We have had a very good sailing through this College of Arts and Science Committee on Instruction and College of Arts and Science Assembly, and then when we got to the Senate committee step, we hit a little bit of rough waters, and it has been a little bit of a process here, and I know that the outcome of that step may not be unanimously supportive, to say the least, but I think that at some points we may have, I wish we've had a chance to handle it a little bit differently. This is a big program. We are representing a big department, and everything that goes with it is a little bit bigger than what people usually encounter. And so we kind of encountered things that now, in retrospect, we could have done slightly different and perhaps make it easier. But I'm standing here in front of you now because I truly and genuinely believe that this is an excellent program. And this is what we should be doing for our students. And at the end of the day, this is going to help Auckland University as an institute for us to have that program. And I'm going to make the case for you, and I hope this will be convincing. And, of course, there'll be time for questions and second reading and whatnot. Keith and Anne will be here next to me to address questions or to help me out with details as necessary. And I hope the equipment here works fine because we have quite the slideshow here. Okay, so what is the program about? It is really, can be titled as an advanced science-based pre-medical preparation. It brings new, more breadth and rigor. It is a bigger program, it's more credit heavy, it's more rigorous. It requires items, academic requirements that are really not so common in a lot of other programs, including existing programs in biology. It is aimed at attracting the most capable students, not only in campus, but also outside of campus. We really have a vision with this program that we are going to be able to bring a good group, good-sized group of students that would not have come here otherwise. Why do we want to offer it? There are several reasons, okay? And I'm just going to count them quick, and then we're going to go over it. There's demand. There's our existing student base. There are emerging trends. There is the issue of staying competitive. And there is our long-term commitment to pre-medical education. Let me start with demand. I really have been blessed by happening to be the chair of this department. right at a time that we have seen an unprecedented growth in our academic mission. If we're looking by two criteria, one is instructional delivery by student credit hours, which is how many students in how many classes we teach. In 2005, we were sort of an average plus department with 15,000 or so annual credits. In 2010, last year, this is where we are. We are the largest department by that criteria on campus. A second aspect of our academic mission is looking at how many undergraduate majors we have. In 2005, we had 367. Last year, 800. This is actually pretty amazing. In the College of Arts and Sciences, we are now the largest department by that criteria also. And it puts a lot of pressure on us. I think that me and my colleagues have not really seen a whole lot of change in our department size, but we understand that we are providing academic solutions to a very rapidly growing student base. Laura Schautmann from the Office of Research, Institutional Research and Assessment gave me this chart that based on our growth and based on some national parameters that she have identified, she is looking at three different curves for forecast into 2015, and the numbers are numbers of bio majors. This is actually, I don't want to say scary, but it is, wow, you know, this is the lowest estimate and this is the highest estimate, and I'm not sure what will take us from here to there, but we understand the magnitude of the responsibility that we have. We are proud to have that responsibility, and in times where every university around us is looking very, very carefully at its prospect for getting more students, we are thinking this is a good thing that we have this kind of focus. We are not so sure that if we are going to be static and too conservative in our programs and just be satisfied with having what we have, that this is actually going to happen. I think we need to continue to evolve. We are working on actually a niche area, the niche area of biological sciences, in particular pre-medical education, really requires paying attention to what happened at the national level. And this is clearly an important consideration of that. So what are we looking at when we're looking at forecast in the big picture? Big picture, we have clear trend, which is nationwide, of enrollments increasing in biological sciences. We are seeing training in biological sciences as a whole, providing an important foundation for academic and vocational track. This is a trend that is increasing, and particularly talking with industry representative, for example, Mish Bio, that represents 700 outfits in Michigan, are giving us that very indication. We have a demand for bioscientists in the industry that is predicted to continue to grow 8 to 10 years. In some ways, biological sciences is becoming somewhat of an equivalent to an engineering degree. There are tracks and there are needs in the workforce that look at at bioscientists as a commodity that is equivalent to that. And there is a nationwide demand that continues to grow for medical training, and so is the demand for quality pre-medical education. So through that process, we said we really need to understand who is and what is our student base. And so we recently surveyed our entire undergraduate student population. One question is, do you consider yourself, and let me remind you, we have 800. Do you consider yourself a pre-medical student? Answer, 78%. That number surprised us. Are you planning to continue your education in graduate or professional school? That number surprised us even more. 96% do not see biology as a terminal degree. That tells us that we have a distinct population that is interested in College of Arts and Science type education and wants to continue to higher degree. This is not interchangeable with students in other professional tracks. Our students like biology and they like science, and they want to go to additional degree within that context. A very substantial portion of our students come for us for pre-medical education. Our students enjoy the benefit of having broad biological science education and like biological research. For all of these reasons, two things. We strive to offer the very best pre-medical education to our undergraduate student. And the other aspect of it, in understanding those pressures, we feel like that we have got to the point that is almost the breaking point. How further can we spread the existing biology major so we can accommodate biology with its potential and pre-med with its potential? We figure that we have reached to the point that we have got to offer a new major. And this is one of the major driving points for us to offer this new degree. On the issue of evolving trends, one of the most, actually the most important authority in pre-medical and medical education is the American Association of Medical College. They've recently concluded several years of studies, and they are expected to provide those accommodations soon. This will affect the MCAT exams. And these changes that are looming, and actually they're just about to be published, we've had indications, because the institution, pre-med institution, get that communication on a regular basis. There was a big report in 2009 by Howard Hughes and the AAMC that started to indicate changes that are going to be necessary in pre-med education. Some of the main points are more rigorous science foundation, emphasis on scientific method and reasoning, and extending out to social and cognitive sciences. Just a few weeks ago, there was another letter from the AAMC to undergraduate institution. That letter clearly states that new directions for MCAT exams will include the following. I'm sure that if we can read that, we're going to see, first of all, that biology is a major and central player in this, and also that there are other aspects that we have already included in our new proposals. So it seems like we were actually spot on with this a few months before this is being published. Let me add to that another reason that we think we should go with it is that we have experience and we have commitment for pre-medical education. We've been doing that here on campus for 40 years, and we have actually been very successful at that. I kind of remember back a few years ago when the medical school was announced, and part of the arguments for mentioned both by William Beaumont and Rassi was that we already have a very successful pre-med program, and we felt that we felt good to hear that. The other thing is that we already have a pretty extensive collection of courses, science-based courses, that are directed at the kind of student population that we have. And this is shown in the next slide, and excuse me, we've done a little bit of fancy presentations here, but we just have a whole slew of courses that are about biomedical education and about pre-medical education, and they are given by our own faculty, and we have a large crowd of students that enjoy attending those courses. So in many aspects, we're really ready for this to go to the next level. There's another component of pre-medical education that's not always talked about, but pre-medical students are expected to have experience firsthand real research in laboratories. And this is one of the things that we do very well in biology. Each one of our faculty have a research programs. We have grants. We have publications that are national level. We accommodate our students in research. Each one of our labs has multiple students there. And this is year in, year out, what we are doing with our student base. To add to that, research of undergraduate students is really helped by having multi-layered master's and PhD programs. So our laboratories have students of all different levels, and the students that come in can really look up to the master's students and the PhD students that get research papers out and theses and become doctors, and this really works very well. We kind of have a community there in the biology department, and I'm very, very pleased to see that. And I think this is exactly the kind of environment that is excellent for the department as a pre-medical hub of the university. Just kind of having an overview out of one of our posters that show, you know, the different research areas in the department and the involvement of undergraduate students in that research. Being competitive is actually pretty important. We are not the only game in town, as I mentioned before, but we are already becoming a very substantial force in the regional pre-med niche or scene. And I have been actually looking into what the other universities are doing. And we have just got to the same size as Wayne State University Biology Department. And I think we are still continuing to grow stronger, referring to our student base. This is really kind of put everything in a different dimension. And combining that Laura's graph, I think that we really have a chance here to put a dent in the other universities and come out ahead. Let me say more. If you ask me what we really want to see in the next 5 years, we want to be the best pre-med department in Michigan. And you can look and say, are you crazy? I don't think I'm crazy. I think we can do it. I think we can do it. There's a lot of things that are right. We have quality. We have already the public attention. We have the new medical school starting here. The public is seeing Oakland University as a destination for pre-medical education. And we are ready to do it. So I think that, I try not to take too much of your time here. We have shown the program in its matured and complete form to more than 300 of our junior and senior students. And just to go quickly over that, students that are thinking we should be offering the program, 89%. Students that would have been interested in that program if it existed when they entered the U, 69%. Let me tell you that a considerable number of our students will not be able to be admitted to that program because of the harsh requirements for math and physics. Students who would recommend it to other students, 88%. students who believe we should specifically, that would specifically attract new students to Oakland, 70%. So it seems like there's an overwhelming positive response from our own majors to this program. I want to actually go back one slide and say that, you know, and obviously we've been hearing concerns about students that might be shifting from other programs to this program. And the first issue is, you know, are they going to shift from your existing program to the new program, and then how are you going to justify a budget? And let me make it in the unequivocal terms that we are only looking at a net increase, okay? And all our numbers are going to be based on that. The other thing is we are not thinking that this program is for everyone, including our existing bio majors. We are really aiming to a different level here on average. And this is a program that's going to be selective, and it's going to be challenging, and it's going to have a lot of credits, and it's going to have a lot of different things in it. And I think that not everybody can actually hack it. So we are thinking that the kind of program like that really has the potential to attract top students, and that a lot of it is going to come from the general student pool in the Detroit metro area, not necessarily from the campus. The other issue that I want to highlight is that I am confident that migration between programs on campus is going to be very insignificant. We have experience of years doing this. Students go to this program, to another program, because of their own specific interests. And we are not going to see that kind of movement when you have programs that have very, very specific requirements. What do I do here? Next.
Eric?
Yeah, I'm almost done.
Go back to the program?
Excuse me?
Could we go back to the program? Do you have the details of the program?
Actually, I'm going to have Anne
present
that part.
Because some of the questions that you're answering could be, let people ask the questions.
Yes, so you can. I will. And we have that detail available. Let me also say, since I already kind of talked about the budget, we looked at it again, and we part of the way we build our budget initially was with respect to a pretty high revenue of income that our students will bring. And I know that this have put a lot of concern in people's mind, seeing those numbers. Let me just say that the biology department, with its academic mission last year, has brought more than $12 million by tuition money alone. So we are looking at scales that may not be true for every academic unit, and you don't see it. We are looking at something that will not have the same size, but will still be pretty substantial. However, we took a second look at it after we got the comments from the Senate committees, and we did two things. First of all, there was some issue about whether we are going to have that kind of enrollment. We think we do. And these are numbers are just simply new students and not shifting students. Let's say the number is smaller. We can still work with that. We figured out that we can do is placing only two faculty lines on this budget rather than four faculty lines. And we trimmed a few things in addition. So the bottom line, while it was positive before, this is the new revised budget that we are proposing. And it has less income, but it has less risk, because the investment is obviously, if you look at this line, total expenses, is quite a bit less. Let me just say that I am fully expecting, as every new program should be expecting, that the budget is a framework, and that our provost and our deans are going to take a hard look at the end of every year at what we've actually accomplished. And if the numbers are not there, we are expecting the budget investment to change accordingly. So we would not be offering this program if we did not think that this is going to bring substantial net revenue to the university. One last thing, one of the issues that came up during the review, and there was really the only dissent from the College of Arts and Sciences, and came from the chair of the chemistry department. At this time, all differences with Abdul have been resolved. We have clarified our position about the budget and agreed to provide access to the new program with some of the courses offered by the chemistry department. Art Bull authorized me to report to you today that he is in full support of our proposal. Art Bull is no longer on campus and he is no longer in Michigan. But I didn't beg him off. He's actually on a bike tour in Virginia. We have confirmation from Jay Meehan that what I'm saying is all true. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to open the floor to questions, and Anne Heat would have access to some of the slides that deal more with the actual content of the program, and Keith Bervin is going to be able to address questions that have more to do with biomedical or pre-medical advising. Thank you very much.
Arik, generally speaking, the program that are being presented to the Senate, they have elements of the program, what the program is, what are the courses. Now, some of the committees have seen that, but I don't know if the whole Senate has. That's normally the presentation at the Senate.
Oh. Here? There. Oh. All right, and this is the cursor key.
Okay. So our program is designed to meet these competencies from the AAMC Howard Hughes program. Our report. And I just want to point out these are some of the courses that are the core courses. We've got Calculus 1 and 2, Statistics, Biostatistics that Math has just started offering. It's a great course. We've got a bunch of bio courses. We've also, under Scientific Inquiry, We've also got, they go back? No, it's right. All right. We've also got a psychology course here. We've got calculus-based physics and physics lab, so it's physics 1 and 2 and the lab. We've got the standard, very necessary courses in chemistry, intro chemistry to 1 year, 1 year of organic and the organic lab. We've also got, to meet the molecular biochemistry requirement or competency, we've got introductory biology, that's Bio 111, Biochemistry 1, and our new second semester biochemistry of diseases. Also, in agreement with the Art Bull's department, we've added Biochem 1 and Biochem 2 from the biochemistry department. These are also excellent courses and will provide a great background for our students. Under molecular cell biology, we've got a micro course and a cell biology course that I've taught in the past that are good, solid courses for the students. For the physiology and immunology competency, we have a physiology class, physiology lab, and we've also got immunology. These are all part of the core courses. For the genetics and evolution component, the competencies, we've got our genetics courses, and we've also got an evolution course, evolution of medicine. So let's look at the bio courses or biochem courses that will be offered. Right, these are the biology, or you might think of them sort of as the I don't want to say science, but the biology core courses that I've just been talking about. What I'd like you to notice is that we have a number of new courses. They're outlined here. They're in blue, and they're also outlined here in the blue box. In particular, we've got Principles of Evolutionary Medicine. This is a totally new course. There's nothing like it offered in the department. I'm not sure what other universities have a course like this. It's a new concept in looking at evolution at the undergraduate level. We've got a new course called Biochemistry of Metabolism and Disease. This is a second semester biochemistry course. Before you take this course, you have to have an entire year of organic chemistry. We've got a human genetics course. This is all of these courses, I should point out, are 4-credit bio courses, so they're going to be very, very rigorous. We've got then at the bottom 3 brand new courses entitled Scientific Inquiry, Integrative Pharmacology, and Integrative Biomedicine and Disease. These 3 courses are to be taken in the senior year, and these 3 courses are integrative courses where students take the information they've learned from other disciplines, psychology, philosophy, math, physics, chemistry, and try to integrate them to understand a project or understand a problem better, right? And I'll be talking more about those in a minute. Now, the cognate courses that we have are a year of calculus, statistics, which, of course, is very important for anyone that's in science or biomedical research. We've got our Gen Chem and Organic Chem requirements, things that are different that aren't in other programs that are offered either here or at other universities in the region, are a requirement for ethics. We would all like our doctors to be ethical. We believe they are. However, there is no formal ethics requirement in any of the programs at the undergraduate level. We think that's a mistake. We want to remedy that. Another thing that's very important is when people are in biomedical research or in a medical field, they're dealing with people. It would be a good thing that they have a solid background in how to deal with people and know something about psychology. So we've got 2 important courses in that are being required, Foundations of a Contemporary Psychology and Introduction to Research Design. Those are both psych courses, and we think that's going to help our students in the future. We think it's a really strong component to the program and make it unique and better than anything else out there. Elective courses. You'll see a lot of the courses that you saw before. These are courses that are already offered in biology. But in addition to that, in a normal biology major, the elective courses are biology courses. But what we've done is to make this interdisciplinary. So students can take a course in medical anthropology or physiological psychology or maybe health psychology or maybe sociology of mental illness. These are all different courses that would not normally be open to our students in that, or they wouldn't apply towards the degree, put it that way. They would have to take these over and above their course requirements. And our major, biology major, is already jam-packed. There's not time to take these extra courses that would enrich their experience at the undergraduate level. Okay? Now, I've mentioned that we've got these integrative courses. These are going to be the hallmark of our program. They're going to require a broad knowledge base, not just in biology, but in chemistry and physics, but not just that, and not just mathematics, but also the social sciences. We're going to have people, the students are going to have to take the information from those different disciplines and actually apply the information. They're going to be looking at scientific literature, bioinformatics databases, popular literature, and other information that's out there. Okay, this is a problem that we've found with our students, or at least I've found with my students, which is that they go to class, they memorize a lot, they might know a lot, but they can't put it together with anything they've learned in a different class. It's a real problem. In these classes, they're going to be integrating their knowledge. They're going to be required to synthesize something, show that they've understood things, and use critical thinking. In addition, in modern biology, I'm sure in medicine that I've seen, people don't work as individual. They work as teams. The students are going to have to do these courses as a team. Teamwork is critical in real life. It's going to be critical here. They're going to be required to communicate well verbally in a formal setting where they do presentations as an independent, or not independent, but a informal situation, just in group communications. And they're also going to have to be doing written reports and papers. These are areas that our students really, really need. They need experience in it, and these courses that we're talking about will provide that for them. All right. The integrative courses that are unique to our program in particular are the Scientific Inquiry Laboratory. People are going to start with the molecular level. They're going to go from the molecular to the biochemical level, to the cellular, to the organism level, and then to the societal impact. So they're going to take a single disease, for example, or topic, and they're going to follow that at all different levels. This is something that we try to do in our classes, but this is what we're going to be specifically targeting. All right, so this is something that's a twist on what we're doing now, but it's going to be much better, I believe. There's also integrative pharmacology. This would be taken in the fall of their senior year, and it's going to be based on human pharmacology. It's going to look at the clinical applications, the physiological functions, pharmacological principles, and biochemistry of actions of these different pharmaceuticals. Right? So this, again, is going to be where they're looking at different levels and they're trying to incorporate things to really show that they understand the material. The final capstone course is Integrative Biomedicine and Disease. And in this case, we've got the students will be doing investigations on multiple aspects of clinically relevant diseases. And again, they're going to be starting at the molecular level and then going through all the different levels to all the way up to the ethics of disease management. All right, so I think this is a really valuable way for the students to see that what they've learned in individual classes actually has an impact on their lives and on other people's lives. The tools that they're going to be using for that is they're going to be using scientific and popular literature. They'll also be using informatics databases, and I forgot the et cetera. But they're going to be doing all of these different kinds of tools to actually apply what they've learned to the real world. All right, and it should give them a solid grounding and an understanding that you have to not just memorize stuff and spit it back on a test, but actually be able to put it into context. And that's the goal of these courses.
And
yes,
could we wrap it up soon?
Yes, I have
because
two more
Senate, I'm not interfering. The Senate had made a resolution. No presentation will be more than 10 minutes. This has gone
over. Yes.
So please wrap it up.
Okay. I have two slides, I think. We're talking about having an active learning environment. This is one of the lines on the budget. Okay, this is what it might look like. This is taken from University of Minnesota where they do this kind of course. And this is just a slide that tells you about this active learning environment where the students are actually forced to work in small groups and present things to each other. Okay, so I'll leave that there, and I'm done.
Thank you. Very informative. Sorry. I appreciate that. The reason I had to remind us, because we want to leave enough room for question and answers and some of the things that have been mentioned by the chair and Dr. Hitt could be addressed in question and answer session as well. So we leave it now to question and answers. I'm sure you have some of you have question or suggestions. The session is open.
Yeah, Kevin Grimm, I have a question. You mentioned that you integrated the biochemistry course or courses. How does that, did they replace something? How does that affect the total 136, the original 136 credits of the program? In other words, have these been added in or have they substituted for something?
They would be substituted, and actually right before I came over here, I realized that the Biochem 1 and Biochem 2 from biochemistry are actually three credit courses instead of four, so it's too short. So we can handle that.
Okay.
The students like that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Other questions, comments?
I have a question.
Yes, please, Dr. Jackson.
You submitted what appears to be a new budget, a budget that I'm assuming has not been sent to Senate Planning or Senate Budget. And the new curriculum that you presented with changes in courses has also not been reviewed by UCUI Senate Budget or Senate Planning. And so I find myself somewhat, not disturbed, I think that's too strong a word, but we're talking about asking the Senate to vote on a program that no one has reviewed. One of the criticisms of Senate Planning was that the budget for the integrated classroom was not in the budget. And so now you're saying it's in there. Could you show me where it is?
It was always there, actually, and I'm not sure where it got lost. The active learning classroom is a module that I hope will be used by a lot of other programs on campus. We are going to use it for a few hours a week. I think it's a great idea for other programs to use it. As learning moves more from the traditional learning, more into competencies and integrative studies.
Excuse me, I hate to interrupt you, but I didn't get to finish my question before you sort of jumped in.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Yeah,
so I think it was actually included. The other thing is, while we adjusted the budget, and we are not thinking there was a substantial change in the sense that we still have the same budget items. However, we have downsized to reflect smaller enrollment and therefore smaller resources. And so I'm completely open to considerations and suggestions. You know, I don't want to rush this program through. If you guys feel that we need a little bit more time, we'll take a little more time, you know. But we have not made a fundamental change. We just downsized it. And we downsized it based on lowering predicted enrollments.
Perhaps I could finish my question this time. I appreciate it. I'd like to know where in the new budget is the classroom, the cost of the integrated classroom. Also, in the old budget, there was a line item for the lab support that would certainly be required to provide for new faculty. When this new budget was up there, I did not see that. I would like to see where that is in the new budget.
Absolutely.
And the cost of the labs as well. I'll finish now. If you could show that
finished?
To me, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Actually, I only brought the summary, the bottom line summary of that. My suggestion is that I will post the entire old budget and the entire new budget with all its items on the Senate website. It's a two-page item that I'm sure people can read. I have nothing to hide.
Any other comments? Or Dr. Grossman?
So I assume the budget calls for additional faculty lines in the Department of Biological Sciences?
Yes. And, you know, we have been, you know, all work a little bit harder in the last few years, but we think that any additional growth in the biology department would require faculty lines. And that includes even if we didn't change or didn't make a new program, we still need new faculty lines. We have been getting them in the last few years, and we will probably continue to get them as long as the conditions are there. Or maybe somebody will tell us, no, you know, you got to scale back to where you were a few years earlier. I don't know.
Okay, so this is to accommodate the new students coming into this?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to stand before Virinder, and if Virinder is going to tell me, Eric, you've just shifted students, I'm going to say, well, don't give me faculty lines.
Okay. My point that I'm trying to get to is there's also courses in physics, mathematics, chemistry, psychology, and other areas that these new students will be taking. Is there anything in the budget for...
Thank you, actually, for bringing that question, because it came out...
in the other departments.
It came out before, and You know, I don't think that since we have a more than doubled our major enrollment in the last 5 years, what happened to the other department? Whatever happens to other department, what we can do is tell about ourselves. If chemistry department or psychology department end up having a lot more pressure of enrollments because of this program, they have a pretty good argument to go to the dean and the dean to Verinder and so on and request more resources. I mean, it's very hard for me to second guess any other department where they stand. Do they have declining enrollments? Do they have increasing enrollments? So we kind of limited our budget to that. I don't think that in the past any other new program required to take care of the entire campus.
Precisely, and that's the issue I raise every time this happens. Thank you.
Dr. Lynn Williams.
Lynn Williams, School of Health Sciences. The School of Health Sciences was not consulted at all during the development of this proposal. And in fact, we didn't even see the proposal until it started through the Senate review process. And we do have a couple of concerns. We believe that both the content and the approaches described for most of the new courses is already being delivered on this campus, which a careful review of some of the courses in the School of Health Sciences would have revealed. We also maintain that the same student outcomes can be achieved, at least in terms of the integrative approach and the team-building approach to the biomedical science preparation for medical schools can be achieved by simply allowing biology pre-med majors to take electives outside of the biology rubric, which is a practice that is currently strongly discouraged. And final, we believe that this program is actually not necessary in this time of extreme fiscal conservatism, that it is unwarranted to duplicate existing courses that already are on this campus.
Thank you. Dr. Russell, Arik, you want to address that first?
That's okay. Is this going to be along the same lines so I can...
Dr. Russell?
No. Okay. To be honest, I do not feel particularly good about how we ended to this schism with the School of Health Sciences. I can say that I have reached out during the last 2 months of Senate review to the School of Health Sciences and could not get through. So it seems that School of Health Sciences is not interested to talk to us at this point. I am more than interested and ready to take the summer to discuss and to deliberate issues like that with them, and if necessary, come back in the fall with a revised program. However, let me just say that I feel strongly, as my colleagues do, that we really have a different student base. The students that are going to take courses in School of Health Sciences are a completely different population than the students that go to take pre-med in the college. It's not a good idea to mix these two populations. That is the reason that we are thinking there's not going to be student transfer. We are not going to steal students. It's the same way we are not able to prevent shifts or these things don't happen because these are not the same student population. And I think this is the main issue. Now, about the courses, everybody can claim, look carefully at the courses. I mean, we have done that study. We looked at the prerequisites, and we feel that this is different courses. We feel that these courses are attended by a different population. And in fact, let me just go a little bit back to the history, because we have been doing that for 40 years. And for many years, the student of health sciences took our courses. And they did not need to come up with similar courses on their side. But they did, over the last 5 to 10 years, come up with a lot of courses with similar names to our courses. One can only imagine why this happened. There could be different explanations that I, you know, there are courses with a narrower focus. There are courses in which the students of health sciences perform better on those. And I don't have any beef with this, you know, but to come back now and says, oh, you're duplicating our courses, I mean, I'm a little bit disheartened by that.
Dr. Russell.
If senators reviewed the reports from the three Senate committees, you can see they weren't ringing endorsements of the proposal as it's currently written. Now, what we've heard today is that there's been major rethinking of portions of that proposal, which I, in my mind, are a vast improvement. We also have heard that biology is willing to sit down with health sciences and talk about cooperative action, which I think is, in the times of budget constraints, a very good thing to do, and that you're willing over the summer to work to improve the proposal that we first saw. I sit on a CUI, and when we first saw
it. I just want to say that I didn't say that I want to improve. I want to see if improvement is needed.
Improvement is needed, and then you can easily achieve it. And I'd be happy to work with you to do that.
It looks pretty good to me right now.
I think that when CUI begins reviewing proposals, the first thing to look at is to see, is all the data there they need? Are there any questions that remain unanswered? And we came up with a list of 31 questions we thought should be answered. We got some responses back that were quite satisfactory, others that still left more questions. I think that over the summer, if all these committees can get to see your new budget and any other changes you'd like to make, I think we'd be in a much better position at the second reading of this proposal to have a proposal that doesn't have these major reservations from all three Senate committees that reviewed it. And I think that would strengthen everything if we had stronger committee reports.
Thank you.
Well, I want to say that the committee work is advisory, and I think that we have a body of people here that can, you know, definitely look at things and look at solutions. My proposal is that we are going to take the summer to have a chance to meet and to hear different opinions and to see whatever is possible to incorporate. We're going to be happy to do that. But I won't do anything that will dilute the academic strengths of this program and compromise our student base. I'm completely committed to that. At the end of the summer, if we are seeing that there is a need for a substantial change in the program, then I'm fully willing to go back to the committees. But I'm not sure that this is necessary at this point, because so far we've only looked at very minor changes. I think the time is also of the essence. This is a very strong program, but the timing, if we wait with that too long, we're going to get into a disadvantage on a regional and statewide level. So I hope that we can solve some of it by posting things on the Senate website. Take the summer, come back in September. Everybody had a chance to consider that. And again, I want to say to representative of the School of Health Sciences, I'd be happy to sit down. We have been helping the School of Health Sciences tremendously because we still provide a lot of the teaching that they need, and we wish to continue good-spirited cooperation.
Thank you. Dr. Meehan.
Thank you. Our advisory committees are very important to us, and I think that it's always incumbent on all of us to read the reports carefully. We value the work of those colleagues, and I'm actually delighted that if Joel's recommendation holds true, that people would actually work with changes and stuff like that to this proposal that have been outlined today in the presentation. What really
And Eric mentioned that Art Bull and Eric and myself, we sat down and talked about the current proposal that led to some of the changes mentioned today. What led to that was, in fact, from my perspective, a lack of information that came from some of those committee reports. I'm really interested in what the 31 questions were and those answers. I don't think that a report from UKUI that's basically three paragraphs is not informative to those of us who are just reading the proposal and not trying to pull out and understand some of the context to this. The reports weren't dated. Two of the three weren't dated. They weren't posted in a timely manner. And that's what led me to actually call up Arik and say, what's going on? And that led to the meeting that we had yesterday to try to hash out some of this. So I believe that there's a real openness to work through this proposal and to make it work. But I am a bit disappointed by the fact that in some of the committee language, for example, there's no documentation for what some of these concerns are. I want to be informed about what those issues are. And I would appreciate that as we move forward with this, because I do think we should move forward with this, I do think that sitting down with Health Sciences and being open to, you know, possible changes, just like we were open, you were open to changes in chemistry, I think that's very important for our colleagues in Health Sciences as well. But I do think that the evidence has to be presented. I wasn't convinced by saying that there's duplication of courses when I couldn't actually see and be pointed to where in the catalog I would find that actual duplication. That's not helpful. And so let's try to work a little closer here with our committees and the committees with the rest of this body to give us the information we need to make an informed decision.
Thank you. Any other comments? Dr. Jackson.
Yeah, this is my last Senate meeting. I've made no secret of the fact that I plan to retire at the end of next year, and so I will not be back on the Senate steering, or volunteering for any Senate committees. You don't have to clap right now. You can wait and, you know.
May we weep?
But Senate Planning's report, if you read our report, you'll notice that our number one concern, and we were the only review committee, well, except for assessment, that approved this by a very slender margin, 4-3. But our major concern was whether or not this was a necessary program, and that is not anything to do with anything that's been presented. And there are two essential issues. There is no undergraduate degree in medicine. My gynecologist very proudly displays her BA in English on the wall of her office. And I feel that one of the reasons she's such a good communicator is that she has a Bachelor of Arts degree in English. You can major in any number of subjects as long as you take the chemistry, biology, and physics that you need to take for med school. You can go to med school. So there is a concern philosophically that sequestering an undergrad degree in medicine may not be in the best interest of our students. Are we not better served by having students major in any number of subjects and then going to medical school? The second issue is necessity. We're going to have to provide an undergraduate pre-med curriculum, whether this proposal gets approved or not. Now, this appears to be, you know, an excellent proposal in many respects. I do have some problems with it in terms of them using clinical and, you know, students not really having clinical. I mean, they're having diseases, they're not having clinical. But I think the number one question really in front of the Senate is, do we need a Cadillac pre-med program when we're going to still have to provide a basic pre-med curriculum for people who are not in this major? And whatever changes have been made to the budget, this is going to be an expensive program. Now, I'm fully willing, trust me, for the School of Engineering to support this program. I don't expect nursing to do it. If they need money from nursing, I'm not the dean of the School of Nursing, but I would assume that none of the other deans are willing to give up their new faculty lines to to help provide the more than $1 million that would be needed for this program. So I think the essential question when you convene in the fall is the answer. We're going to still have to provide an undergrad pre-medical curriculum. Do we need this program in order to successfully provide what people need to apply to med school?
Brenda, let me just
please
quickly. And I want to say that we got to the Senate Review Committee. We had no experience on how these committees work, and we have no representatives on these committees. And I don't want to comment on the process of review, but there was disappointments that we had. And some of the final reports of committees had conclusions that had nothing to do with the 31 questions. I want to applaud the planning committee, Francis Committee, that actually is the only committee that invited us to be heard last. The only committee that invited us to be heard last after all the dissent was heard. And that's the only major committee that voted for us. I want to move on from that point because I think we need to look at the positive. I think we need to see that the writing on the wall about demographics, and this Senate needs to hear it because this is not a small matter. Mm-hmm. Everybody is talking about budget cuts and how we're going to counteract budget cuts. A decrease of 1% in student enrollments for the university next year means $2 million less revenue. 1%. Let me tell you that with my best assessment, the writing is no longer on the wall. We are already there. If we want to survive this, if we want to move further, if we want to be able to compete with the greatest university around us, we need to step up. We need to do, I don't want to say the unthinkable, but we really need to extend ourselves out. And this is what we're doing. And I think with this particular niche, we really have a shot at it.
Thank you. Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. I'm AP representative. And I just have a few concerns and questions for you. Looking at your forecasting as well as your students that participated in the survey, you stated that 800 students are in your biology major, and 78% of those students do plan to pursue pre-med as an area of study. My first point to that being that with the new major being pushed, would those students not have the same opportunities to participate into this new major? And if so, would the biology lose 78% of their student population? My second point is that of that 78%, you stated that 96% plan to go on to professional schools. So if you offer the pre-med major as opposed to looking at a concentration in biology with a concentration in pre-med, that if you're going to only prepare less than the 78% of your student population in biology who intend to go to med school for actually going on to med school unless they change their major, is that what you're saying? That the only way that can best prepare you for medical school is with this new major as opposed to taking your current major in biology and creating a concentration or track for students who would like to go on to medical school and offering the same curriculum, which I do believe you said there were only 8 additional new courses. So you can easily create a concentration with 8 additional courses, which I think there were 18 courses that were on your list. And of those 18, I think there are only 8 new courses. So if you look at that, looking at the student perspective, allowing your current student population, who you said are 800 students, and 78% of them intend to go on to medical school, allowing that population that's presently in the biology department and future students coming in to still have that opportunity to maximize their chances of getting into medical school if biology is their option. So as opposed to looking at and creating a new major, which would bring in new faculty lines and all those other budgetary issues, why not look at creating a concentration within your current biology major, since your current biology major, you're saying, is going to project, I think it was up to 1,100 students within the next 5 years, looking at your forecast. So why not concentrate on what you have that's great and create a concentration so your students who are in that 3.6 or above GPA could follow a new concentration as opposed to a totally new major? So,
Well, thank you for your question. I want to point out that if we are going to go on that curve of getting to 1,100 or 1,400 students, we will need new faculty lines. And that is going to be almost the same dollar amount as the faculty lines that we're going to need for this program. So right there, part of the motivation goes away. But as I alluded, this is a question of, are we going to be satisfied with having something that is good today, but maybe okay within 5 years? Or are we going to see where everything around us move, and we want to be there when everything is there, and we do not want to stay behind? This is where we are aiming at. 8 new courses are part of the story, but 8 new courses is 32 credits, and that's a big chunk of a major. So 8 new courses is nothing to sneer at. Actually, I've seen new program approved here with much less than 8 new courses. This is a paradigm change in the way we do business with pre-med, because we are shooting for new types of courses, and we are shooting for students that could take different level math and physics that would be very hard to apply that to our entire students' population. This is going to be, in many ways for us, a learning experience as we go through that. And I think that at the end of that path, we hope to be with a population that is different from what we had 5 years ago.
Thank you.
Can I just answer? But of those 8 new courses, you only said that there was only one course that's actually new to the university. So even though on that list of 8 classes that you said, there was only one
course.
There's
8 new courses.
Yes, but you said there's only one course that was unique, meaning that there's no other department that offers that particular course. Is that what you said?
No, I said that's offered anywhere.
At Oakland University?
Anywhere that I know of at an undergraduate university. There are 8 new courses. There are the requirement for other courses outside the bio rubric. So this is completely different than other majors. This is very, very, very different. There are 8 new courses that are not offered by anyone else here on campus also. I hope that helps.
Yes.
And I think...
So one of those classes was human genetics, is that was...
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I would just like to respond to Francis's comments about the requirements for what it will take to get into medical school. It is true that there are multiple ways to end up in medical school, and as the pre-med advisor, I have, you know, seen every possible method. But one thing is changing, and what Ark didn't dwell on was that the MCAT is substantially changing. And this is an exam that all students who want to go to medical school have to take. It's one of 3 things that are looked at in consideration of a student's acceptance to medical school. This new exam is competency-based, and if you looked at the, I don't know where the slide is, if you look at the slide, you will see that the competencies that are now being required are much more heavily science-based than in the previous. So it's no longer going to be possible for somebody to take 1 year of intro bio and manage to score well on that exam. This exam now also is going to have a section which deals with psychology and sociology and research design. These are aspects of our new major that are not presently part of any major on biology major on campus. So the old major is not going to be sufficient anymore to address many of the concerns needed for these students as they go into medical school. The AAMC has also made recommendations on what competencies an undergraduate student going into medical school should have. Universities are going to pay attention to these, and they're going to make sure that they're offering them. Otherwise, the students are going to go elsewhere. And so it's very important to realize that there are other ways to go to medical school. But the pendulum is starting to swing back again to a more competency science base than it was in the past. And this is what we are trying to address in this new proposal.
Thank you. Dr. Wren, then Dr. Mitten.
Good afternoon, all. My name is Patricia Wren. I'm the director of the Health Sciences Program, and I feel perhaps this introduction was long in coming because perhaps I've been hard to reach for a while, which isn't true. I'm pleased to be the chair of Health Sciences. We have 1,200 undergraduate majors across five concentrations. I'm joined today by Dr. Jennifer Lucarelli, a second-year assistant professor in Health Sciences, and the only other full-time tenure-track faculty member that we have in delivering a premier pre-medical, pre-health profession concentration degree to 1,200 majors. We're excited to be able to partner with Senate Planning, Senate Budget, UQE. I think we can give excellent advice and counsel across the university on how to do more with less. So we're interested in partnering, but we think we offer a terrific pre-medical program now. Pre-veterinary, we have a direct track to the PharmD program at Wayne State, physician assistant, and public health. So I'm sorry to have to make my introductions to so many of my colleagues in biology here, but I'm happy to be here today. Thanks.
Thank you. Dr. Mitten?
Just a brief question. Ken Mitten from the Eye Research Institute. Being that we have this wonderful new medical school in our institution, has that been a resource? They've been, I guess, probably sifting through a couple thousand applicants, I understand, for their first year class. Are you getting any kind of feedback from what our own medical school would envision and see and be looking for in their favorite applicants?
Thank you for the question, Ken. We actually did approach the medical school, and I have been informed that the staff has been looking at that proposal. I have actually been consulting with Bob Nueva of the medical school several times during the development of that program, and continue to follow a lot of his advice about rigor and breadth. And Bob Nueva wrote a very positive letter after we have asked for letter of support. And so I think that we are okay on that. However, we are always going to strive to get new advice, because what we have now is going to continue to evolve. And we definitely want to continue to make this program a program that will be cutting edge. Back to Patricia Wren, and I really appreciate the thoughtfulness and the desire to save costs and to do more with less. We've been doing that for quite a while. I want to point out here, this is the summary of applicant records for the American Association of Medical College. They publish it every year. Last year's numbers are that School of Health Sciences applicants make 2%. I'm sorry, I know you can't see that number, but make 2% of the total national applicants for medical school. And they make a little bit less in the total accepted applicants for medical schools. So they fare a little bit not as good as bio majors, for example, not by a large margin, but the percentages are 2%. Biology is about 52%. And I really hate to do that, because I really don't want this to be the focus of our program. This is a great program. It has a lot of chances to succeed. But if you're going to block this program for a nationwide percentage of 2%, this is the wrong move.
Dr. Grossman and Dr. Russell, and I ask everyone be brief, because we're coming to the Senate time. We'll continue if you so desire, but let's restrict our comments to what can be really helpful to others. Dr. Grossman, then Dr. Russell.
I just wanted to ask that maybe at the next discussion of this in the fall, a representative from our School of Medicine express on the Senate floor what they think of the proposal at that time.
Thank you. Dr. Russell.
I would just like to have the minutes show that I don't want an incorrect statement that Eric made left in the minutes unchallenged. You made the comment that the objection of the Senate committees, the main objection looking all through all three committees, was whether this program was needed. Okay, now I think that, speaking for myself and ECOWAS, I'm very willing to wide open look at your program and what you've done with it and see if you've addressed that issue. We brought that up to you, and the response you gave us back wasn't helpful. But you did make the comment that no one had made this, the Senate committees had not made that point to you. I'm prepared here. I don't think now is the place to do it. I'd rather do it with you. But of the 31 questions sent to biology originally by Yukui, 4 of them dealt directly with the need for the program.
Please identify yourself and be brief. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Flora Dallo. I'm from the School of Health Sciences, and I'm an epidemiologist by training. So after looking at your presentation, my main concern is evidence. A lot of people here have talked about that. I didn't see the evidence to show that if your program was adopted, that it would succeed. You assessed 800 students. Oakland University has 19,000. So you surveyed 4% of the population. So I'm just really concerned about evidence and data. If we were to see more information to show that there's a demand, perhaps this could be looked at from a different perspective. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there comments that substantially add to the discussion at this time? I think we have had good discussion. Senate has a tradition to have that discussion, and we have always honored that. I invite anyone who can add anything to the discussion we had. In that case, Dr. Grossman, please help us move. What is the next step?
Well, this was just the first reading, so presumably this will come up in the fall. Okay. And the next item on the agenda is good and welfare.
Yeah.
There is one more item on the agenda.
Dr. Lacha and then Dr. Gretz.
I was waiting for the next item.
Next item, I see. Dr. Gretz? Okay.
That's where we are.
Hi, just really quickly, I'm Jan Grease from the Department of Human Development and Child Studies. And my area of teaching and research is autism, and I just wanted to share a couple really quick things with you. Last weekend at the rec center, we had 460 families and children with autism attend. So those of you that were trying to work out at the rec center, I hope you appreciate the fact that all these kids with autism were running around there as well. I think that the event, we're glad that to have the support of the recreational center. Some of the students from the Oakland basketball team were there for pictures. The Grizz mascot showed up. We had a lot of activities. It was really the effort of Kathy Sweeney, who is our new director of OU Cares, Christy Lee, our program coordinator, and Jenny Coltier, who's kind of like the anchor for OU Cares. The second announcement is in May, on May 12th and 13th, we're having our third annual Autism Symposium. It's going to be hosted by OU, by the School of Education and OU Cares. Each year we focus on the quality of life of individuals with autism, and this year the focus is on an issue that I think deeply of, which is adolescent and adults with autism. While we recognize all the little ones running around with autism, we realize that all these little kids with autism are growing up. Our communities have not and are not prepared for this surge of individuals that will be living and working with us. So I hope you can attend. It's May 12th and 13th. We have 3 national speakers coming in. And if you want some more information, please go to the OU Cares website. Thanks.
Thank you. If there are any important questions we must hear, please say it now. Otherwise, we're ready for adjournment. Yes, Mike, Dr. Lacha.
I was just going to take the opportunity at her last Senate meeting to express our deep appreciation to Frances Jackson for her long service to the Senate and especially the committee.
Thank you. Registrar, Mr. Shablin.
One of the final tasks with Frances as on Graduate Council, Graduate Council today approved a change in the graduate student enrollment certification matrix for summer for graduate students. Graduate students now taking 5 or more credits would be considered full-time. 3 to 4 would be considered half-time, and then 1 to 2 would be considered last half-time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to make a few remarks before we adjourn, and that is that I want to thank the steering committee. They work very hard, and many times they had to resolve some very, very difficult issues, including the discussion today when they decided that we should put this issue on the table and Senate have the discussion. I appreciate their objectivity. When they disagree, they have reasons, and they have been a great force of leader for us to move forward. I appreciate all of them. And Frances, particularly you, congratulations and thank you for reaching that milestone. And George Preisinger, George, are you here? He's been helping us. This is an assistant vice president. Some of you don't understand. This guy has a big title, but he'll work for anyone and he's here all the time. So please help me acknowledge and thank him for all his services. And Dr. DeVere, Dr. Bourbon, Dr. Hitt, we thank you for your very lucid presentation. I think you addressed the issues. I hope this discussion was helpful for everyone, and we appreciate the time you put in the proposal to advance this university. And I think we're ready to adjourn, and thank you, and this is our last meeting of the session, and I wish you a very productive and enjoyable spring and summer. Thank you.